This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicki Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicki understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicki as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here today. It's a beautiful Friday. Yes, we're taping on a Friday. And it makes me think about what we're going to talk about today, because it's starting to be that spring type weather where weddings are going to be happening. And this last year with the pandemic has been so kooky. All of our lives have been uprooted, changed, affected in so many ways. And over the summer, I kept thinking, because I was having so many conversations with friends, colleagues, and family members about weddings, their weddings being delayed, or, just trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Are we going to still have the wedding? Are we going to, have everybody wear masks? What are we going to do? And I thought, that would be a really good topic to cover on the podcast. And then one of my daughters sent me an Instagram page that they said, "Mom, you got to follow this and you need to have this woman on your podcast." And it was our guest that we're having today. But before we go into that, I want to ask you, Sawyer, did you have friends and like family members that were like stressing out over the wedding thing this summer?
I actually just received a save the date for my cousin's wedding that's happening this fall. So I'm pretty sure that they dealt with that a little bit, trying to balance everybody's schedule and trying to get everybody to come down south on the same time to celebrate together.
So, yeah. I mean, you get into your own little bubble about what your stresses are. And then you think about all these people who, planned and planned and planned, and then, boom, the pandemic happened. But so our guest today is, a woman by the name of Amy Boser, and she is with a company called Molly and Myrtle. And I'm super excited that Charge and Selflessly, our sponsors, make it possible to have her on our show today, because she has this company called Molly and Myrtle, and she's a flower farmer, and she implements sustainable, whimsical, original wedding designs to reflect nature, which I know is why my girls told me you have to follow this. The company is committed to reducing event industry waste, and they use compostable materials and absolutely no floral foam, which we all know about floral foam. So like I said, I wanted to talk to her a while, and I thought she'd be great to talk about the sustainable wedding industry, but also just like kind of what happened with the wedding industry as a whole over the last year. So welcome, Amy, to the show today, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki. And this is difficult for me virtual, because I always love to give new people that I meet flowers, and I can't pass you flowers through the screen. So.
That's so sweet. Well, I will pretend that you're handing me them. I do have some roses on my dining room table right now that were given to me. So I do have some flowers. So I will channel them that they were sent by you. Okay.
Sounds great.
So flower farmer, like, do you just have like a big like piece of land and you grow them on your land, or how's that work?
I do not. So I have about a third of an acre, and I've been offered big pieces of land to grow more flowers. But I decided about a year ago that I was going to grow everything I can on our property and then take advantage of the existing local flower farmers that are just phenomenal in this area. So I grow really about 60 different things on our property. Right on the list, from perennials, foliage, great flowers. Sometimes they go until November. It just depends on what Indiana weather does.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, my oldest daughter, she did this, she loves urban farming, and she did a program. Have you ever heard of the Worldwide Opportunities for Organic Farming movement?
No, but it sounds like I want to join.
Well, you should look into it, because what they do is they join this cooperative, and then the farmers can have people come live on their property, and they give them room and board so that they will farm for them. And so she's traveled Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and had plans all last summer to do it all over the world. But then with the pandemic, she didn't. But it's just such a great program, because farming is a loose term, you know, for this program, because they'll do, for instance, flower farming, but they could do vegetable farming, or like in Puerto Rico, she helped create a path for through the rainforest. So there's a lot of different ways to define that, but I wondered if you were aware of that at all. I don't know how many people would want to come to Indiana and live. They should want to, because it's a beautiful place. And maybe you don't even have like a way to house and, you know, do that program, but it's definitely super cool. But anyway, I digress. So you grow all these flowers, but it's not just that you use local flowers in your wedding designs. I mean, you've committed to not using the foam. What started that in you? Like, was it a movement of the desire of brides, or was it just something that you thought, I'm gonna go into this area of wedding planning?
Yeah, so it's really nothing that's developed, nothing new. It's kind of how I was raised. My parents were married in 1945. I'm one of those young oops babies. And they really taught me how to save, how to treat the world and people better. And I grew up in such an idyllic community in Northern Illinois, where I learned from a young age just how to take care of your yard and your neighbors. And so it's just kind of, it wasn't anything that I pivoted to. I just have always been this way. It came from digging in the dirt as a 10-year-old and then cutting flowers for my mom for the dinner table. And just, being a good steward of nature, because it gives us so much back.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that it just, it's innate. It's no big marketing plan or anything. It's just the way you grew your business, you know, and you took your passion, a passion that you had, and made it a business for yourself.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. You know, I had a career in marketing at the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, and it really has transferred so many skills to my business. Most of all, just caring about people and helping them create something really awesome on one of the best days of their lives. I mean, I feel really honored to do what I do. And anyone who works with their hands will tell you that they're a happy person. And so, I work in the garden, I get dirty, and then I get to see from seed to these beautiful flowers. And sometimes I'll grow a whole row of flowers just for one bride. And to be able to have that whole process and then wrap it up when you walk in and you deliver this bouquet, and they either cry or smile, and it just makes it all worthwhile.
Wow. Something you just said really interested me. You will plant a whole row for a bride. I didn't even think about the planning that goes into it. So you might meet with the bride, I mean, obviously months and months ahead of time, and you make a plan, and then you have to specifically garden for the bride.
Once in a while, it doesn't happen for everyone, but if somebody comes, for example, there was a bride that wanted coral, and there's some beautiful coral zinnias, and I was able to, based on when her wedding was, know that those flowers would be blooming in season for her wedding, and so I planted coral binary giant zinnias for her wedding, so.
Oh, I love that. I love that. It transfers into more than just the flowers, though, with your design, at least according to the picture. So talk a little bit about how you, what you typically do for a bride and a groom for their wedding.
Yeah, and brides and brides and grooms too. I mean, we
Yep.
So really, we just love a really nice long leash. I would rather somebody come to me and say, these are my colors for my dresses and my dress, and then we choose everything. So instead of someone coming to say, I just want pink and blush, just coming and say, we have green dresses, and Amy, you do what you like. And then we're able to choose the best flowers that are in season, play with the color wheel, and really, you know, organically design something that just is beautiful and reflects the season. For example, spring flowers are so happy and so fresh and so new. So we don't like to cram a whole bunch of them together. They need room to move. And in the fall, it's colder outside. So we like to blanket things in a little with a little more weight, a little more greenery and foliage. So we really try to educate the couples on just, you know, letting nature do what it wants to do in the season that they're getting married, and then not be beholden to certain things, you know, allergies accepted. We would never, that's one of the most important questions that any florist would ask.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something that makes you itch or scratch? And is there a flower that you're averse to? You know, say someone gave you a certain flower and it's associated with this just awful experience in your life. You don't want to give somebody that makes them itch or triggers an emotional response that they do not want on their wedding day.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. That would really stink. The ex used to send blank flowers and suddenly they appear at the wedding.
Exactly. So many things. Yeah. That we try to cover to make it perfect. Nothing's perfect, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the pictures are beautiful. It looks as perfect as you can come to it. So how much does the venue play a part in it?
So the venues in Indianapolis are so fun right now, and there's such an extreme of environments. You know, the barns are still popular. The industrial spaces are just super hot right now. But the venues are really our customers, too. And we're fortunate that a lot of the venues we've worked with, they send us almost, you know, they refer us all the time. We don't do any advertising. It's all word of mouth, and it's public relations with people like you and doing different events. But the venues are a big piece of that. And the staff that's at the venue, all of that just makes or breaks your wedding day, because There's a venue here in Indianapolis that's like Disney World. And when you plan your wedding with them, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but everything is just clockwork. And when we can work at that venue, we have a sigh of relief when someone comes in and says they're getting married at that venue. And that's Mustard Seed Gardens up on the north side. They have a phenomenal staff. They care about people, and they are so good at what they do. So the venues, it's a big piece, and people need to look at more than what the space is, but they need to look at the whole staff, because, you know, they're with you for 12 hours, and that's a big piece of what you're paying for.
Yeah, yeah. How common is your type of company across the country? Like, how many other, sustainable florists exist?
Yeah, it's growing, and the business has to pivot, because that's the way the world is going. Mm-hmm. But so, for example, we do about 50 events a year. There's an average of 500 pounds of waste per wedding. So that's like 12 tons of garbage just for the group of weddings that I would do if I wasn't sustainable.
Oh, my gosh.
People that would buy, you know, signage that comes in from China, or, favors that are plastic and they'll never be used again. It's something that I'm really passionate about reducing. So we have a whole inventory of supplies. And one of my brides put it perfectly. She walked into our studio and she said, oh my gosh, I didn't need a wedding closet, because people, and this is what has pivoted during the pandemic too, people have, because weddings can be whatever they want now, sometimes people bring in just way too much stuff to their wedding, and you lose the fact that it's really just about you, your best people, and having a really good time. You don't need to bring in 500 pounds of supplies that you're never going to use again. So
yeah,
we do have signs, old mirrors and old doors and things that we've used probably hundreds of times now, which is pretty cool.
I love that. Yeah. You use stuff over. It just, the feeling that you would have as a couple to know that you're not being wasteful. And I would definitely think that, you know, I mean, that's, like you said, it's the way of the world now, but it's definitely because I don't know, I'm sure the percentage of people getting married are mostly in the age group that's the big movement for them, you know? With the pandemic as a whole, how did it affect your specific business in the wedding industry as a whole this past year?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, we were so fortunate. I'm one of those just quirky, creative people that start something and then I forget what I've done because I did three other things after that. So as soon as it started, I'm like, all right, first of all, I have the vehicle that makes people happy. Who doesn't like flowers? So when weddings started getting canceled and put off, we pivoted. First of all, we felt bad initially for all those people that had to cancel. So we decided we would try and get flowers, which was difficult at the time too, because transportation was halted. Everything was halted. There were millions of pounds of flowers that were just dumped last month. They couldn't get here. But we still were able to get some, you know, California, we could get flowers from there. So we ordered flowers and we, cause out of season, you know, I can't grow flowers in March and April, I don't have a greenhouse. We gifted all the brides that were supposed to get married. We delivered flowers to them on their wedding weekends. And at the same
time,
we pitched up this whole thing where we would buy one and gift one. So we did flowers for the essential workers at the hospitals. And then we did flowers just for friends, parents who, you know, they couldn't see each other. So there were three weekends where we had crews and we were just driving for hours, dropping flowers all over town. And then the other thing that happened was that my son's high school prom was canceled. And so one of the moms got the idea that, oh my gosh, this is so sad. We should have the boys help get flowers to all the senior girls that were going to go to prom. So we ended up on Good Morning America because we made bouquets for every senior girl at Bishop Chatard High School and then had crews drive them all over town to give them flowers. And it was so fun. And it was the height of when we were afraid to go out the door. And everyone can kind of remember that.
Yeah.
When everyone was tense and just being able to do that whole weekend, and it touched so many people. It wasn't just the girls. You get so much just by dropping flowers at someone's house, and you can't explain it until you've done it. I mean,
yeah.
And we were so fortunate. And then, you know, we did fundraisers throughout the year, you know, for Gleaners, Holy Family Shelter, Hollis Adams, which is an organization near and dear to our family's heart that does their audience is adults with developmental disabilities, and they do social events for them. So we just kind of pivoted, and because we have flowers that make people happy, we were still able to do things, and people still got married. You know, maybe they had a small, intimate ceremony. Some of them were crazy enough to do bigger ones with masks. But our business really was not, we were very fortunate to not be impacted, and so we felt like we needed to give back.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I can't, the whole prom thing getting canceled. I mean, I have one child still in high school, and she, fortunately she's a sophomore this year. And she keeps saying, I was the best age to be in high school during a pandemic because I'm not going to be affected by the prom being canceled, you know? And I thought, yeah, you are lucky because the people that are seniors right now, you know, they had last year and this year being affected.
I have one. So yeah.
You have a senior. Yeah. It's just, So for you to have some way to make it a little brighter for all of them, that's so cool. So I keep talking about like weddings, but what I need to really recognize is that, I mean, you're a florist. You're not just a wedding florist.
Yeah, so I am. I mean, I started my business at the farmers markets here in Indianapolis. And anyone who knows a farmer, your daughter included, know that they are the most loyal, hardworking people. I mean, we would be in the parking lot and asphalt parking lot, all kinds of weather. A storm would come up and our tents would start blowing no matter how we had them, you know, tethered down. And all of us farmers would just run and help each other with their tents. And then we'd barter. I would barter with my dad's sweet corn and I'd give him flowers for his wife and I'd get sweet corn. And
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, the way we started was just so fun and honest. I mean, brides and grooms, they have no idea the hard labor that goes into a wedding. Sometimes we have 3,000 stems of flowers that we touch three times. We may have planted those. We clean them. We process them. We make sure they're beautifully open. But the fun thing was, because we started at the farmer's market, I was able to kind of, people just started asking me to do weddings, and that's kind of how it all started. So we did weddings, but we also got to know a lot of people and started doing retail deliveries to different businesses. And that's how we started delivering around Broad Ripple and to nursing homes and the nursing home part. I mean, that was just another gift to me. I would schedule our deliveries off the nursing home so I could go in at lunch and talk to each person at each lunch table because the old people are just so fun. And so we would literally choose flowers for them that they would enjoy, things that would have a fragrance, things that were tactile, because that was just another experience for them in such a limited environment. And that part of the pandemic has been the most heartbreaking for me. To not be able to go in and deliver flowers to that group of people that are just so happy by a simple gesture of flowers on the table while they're eating lunch.
Yeah. Is that opening back up now that the vaccines are out or?
So, and hopefully the companies that manage the nursing homes will again see the value of flowers because it's really kind of one of those unmeasurable things that you can do in a community like that.
Yeah, I agree. What was Valentine's Day like for you?
So we boycott Valentine's Day. So
okay. So do I personally.
Because we do so many weddings a year. I tell people like as soon as New Year's Eve comes, sometimes we'll do New Year's Eve weddings, which is one of the best nights of the year to get married, by the way. I mean, New Year's Eve is super fun. But after Christmas and New Year's, we're like Santa Claus. We hibernate and take a little winter nap. So we started downsizing Valentine's Day because flowers are expensive. It's extremely stressful, you know, trying to make 200 deliveries in 1 week. Yeah. So we literally, usually, unless there's some special cases, if a couple calls me that got married, you know, I have to pivot and say, all right, I'll deliver flowers for you, for your sweetheart, because I did your wedding. And yeah, but gotcha. Very overrated holiday.
I love getting into your head and hearing like it's that's what's really fun about doing this podcast is the things that, you know, the business leader decides is the, you know, kind of their mission, values, their process. And when you said, I boycott Valentine's, I just think that as a florist to say that you do that, like that's a pretty strong stand.
Yeah, it's kind of bold, but, you know, I'm kind of quirky that way, so.
I didn't notice that on your Instagram. I should go back and look and see what you were doing in the month of February. Do you make a stand about that, or do you just go quiet?
I really don't. And I think, you know, it's become more of an awareness that a lot of people are maybe are lonely on Valentine's Day.
Right.
So I, my mother taught me how to help take care of neighbors and people. And so I think I posted something about that, like, you know, love your neighbor today. And that doesn't have to mean flowers. It might mean bringing them, you know, a pint of soup that you already made over for dinner. So
that's so lovely. I love how you think, you know, you think about people more than you think about business, because it's someone who isn't, I mean, just what you said, you're being sensitive to the people that might be lonely on Valentine's Day instead of trying to capitalize on a big revenue generating holiday. I love that.
Oh, well, thank you. And I've been meaning to ask you, what's your favorite flower, Vicki, or do you have more than one?
You know, I like, I love coxcombs. Kind of a random, no. I know, but I just think they're so beautiful. I love my roses. I do. I love roses, which is pretty boring, I guess. But really wildflowers too. Just, I love to go on a walk and grab whatever. And half the time they're probably weeds, but you know, to me, they're beautiful.
For sure. Yeah. So you know what, you know how you can grow coxcomb, right? Because have you grown it before?
No, I have no idea. I don't have a green thumb.
When you buy it at the farmer's market or wherever you buy it, you know, the coxcomb is the one that kind of looks like brains and velvet. It comes in so many gorgeous colors. But literally after it's done, if you put it on a white paper plate, it'll just drop seeds that look like poppy seeds, and hundreds of those. And put them in an envelope and then just put them in the ground next year.
Yeah. Well, my my oldest is the urban farmer. She lived in Chicago last year, so she was in an apartment, but she's thinking about moving to Colorado. She wants to buy land. She wants to, you know, farm. So she knows all these things. And she's constantly telling me, like, you know, save the seed from that passion fruit or whatever, you know. So I have never had a green thumb. I used to have a garden when I lived in New York City for a long time, but then when I moved back to Indiana, I lived on 5 acres and I had a vegetable garden, but it was about 50% weeds and 50% vegetables, because it's just so much to keep up with.
It is,
you know. Yeah. I mean, it's totally worth it, but it's a lot to keep up with. So, but that is so good to know about the coxcomb seeds. I would love, what's the other flower that is, it's not the same texture as a coxcomb, but it's, has the big bulb, you know, the big round bulbs like that.
Are you thinking about amaranthus, the one that hangs and it's real fluffy like tails? It's in that same family.
I do like those too. No, this is more of it's like a bush, and they're big and like blue and purple shade.
Oh, a butterfly bush or?
No. See, look at you. You're doing all these. You're saying all these exotic flowers. It's a pretty basic one.
Yeah. I mean, hydrangeas.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I think those are amazing too.
Yeah, they are. And a lot of bang for your buck. If you want to do something simple and elegant and timeless, hydrangeas are awesome.
Yeah.
So, but I was going to share, before I forget, because I easily digress, a great tip for, like, right now for home gardeners that want to start a flower garden. So all of us have been getting, sourcing local food and picking up our favorite dinners. And if you get it in a plastic clamshell container that's clear, you literally can throw some potting soil in there, some seeds in there, and it's a baby greenhouse. Poke holes in the top, and you can literally, like, you know, if you want to look like a redneck in your neighborhood and you've got 5 of those, you can literally put them out on your front sidewalk on these beautiful Indiana sunny days, and they're like little greenhouses that you can start seeds in. And it's less frustrating than, you know, starting seeds in all those little pods, which, again, you know, get the compostable ones. We use milk cartons, but we use the clam shells. And it's really fun to see those sprout in the clear containers, and you hardly have to water them.
Oh, wow. So
it's a great little home gardener tip, using those clam shell containers.
That is a great tip. I think that's something that we need to make sure we put at the top of introducing you, so that people can, because everybody after the pandemic and going into this year needs a little sunshine and a little something to make them happy, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Victory Gardens during World War II, it's kind of like another thing like that. And we all should be planting some of
our. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, that's a good time to segue to our Taking Care in Community segment, which is sponsored by Selflessly. And for those of you who don't know about this, this is where you can nominate someone or an organization who you believe is using business as a force for good in your community. And Selflessly sponsors it. They bring in a lot of nominations, and then they give us one every episode. And this week's is Rebecca Hutton from Leadership Indianapolis. And for those of you, I know they have programs like this all over the country. Here in Indy, it's called Leadership Indianapolis. And the mission that they have is to educate, inspire, and mobilize community leaders to serve and strengthen greater Indianapolis. And I have met tons of people who have gone through the SKL, that's what they call it,
sure.
Leadership program. And they have, so you're familiar with it.
Oh,
huh,
yeah,
Amy?
I worked at the Chamber of Commerce, the Lacey Leadership.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even put that together when I, you know what? How perfect, how serendipitous that we are talking, that they were the nominee.
Yeah.
I love it. Did you go through the SKL program?
I was not able to, as in my role at the chamber, I didn't have time, but so many amazing leaders that came out of that group, you know, back when Tom Binford was alive, and
yep,
so many mentors that now, I mean, they're all the big fun CEOs in Indy. So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And Rebecca went through the program herself, apparently. And if I'm reading my Roman numerals correctly, she would have been the class of 37. So, and then now she's dedicated herself to the program directing, and she also works with alumnas for opportunities. So great nomination, and so timely that it would, that you know about it. It's pretty wild how there are so many people who are just behind the scenes making great things happen. And I love that they can be recognized and called out on this program for that. So anybody interested in learning about that can go to leadershipindianapolis.org. So, okay. So Amy, I want to hear how people can find you. Let everybody know, because I bet you're going to have some interest after people hear this podcast on just either looking at the beautiful pictures or, you know, getting more information on how they can involve you in their event planning for sure.
Oh, thank you. So, I mean, number one, remind people that American grown flowers are so important. The flower industry is $43 billion a year, and only 15% of that is American grown. So look for an American grown sticker, even at Kroger and other places. And then, yeah, if you choose us, we make every effort to purchase American grown flowers for your event or your birthday bouquet that you want delivered. And so just Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, and Myrtle, M-Y-R-T-L-E.com. And Molly's my daughter and Myrtle was my grandmother. And also just Molly and Myrtle at gmail.com.
I was going to ask you who Molly and Myrtle were. So you answered that. I love that. I thought maybe it was your two dogs or something. I wasn't sure. Okay. Well, wonderful. I have really enjoyed talking to you. The next time I am in the market for some flowers, you will be hearing from me. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd love to help you. And we do team building events too. If people just want to get together once the world opens and play with flowers, we love to do that, especially with the philanthropic spin on it. So.
Oh, how fun. So you will let them come and garden, or what do you have them do?
I donate all the flowers and I bring vessels for everyone to just play and learn how to put a vase together. And then the admission fee would all go to a charity. We've done them at breweries, but we could do them. We can pop up at, you know, our workplace, anywhere.
Ah, that's so good to know, because at Bolson Group, at least 50% of our clients are nonprofits, because we work only with businesses that use businesses a force for good. So we have a lot of mission-driven organizations that we work with that you know, obviously they're constantly doing fundraisers and things like that. So
yeah, we have glad to know school that. On wheels. So
yeah,
have with flowers activity. So
yeah, and Gleaners is one of our clients, and you mentioned them earlier. So I'm like, okay, I'm taking this all in. So, well, I'm so glad we got to meet. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and spend some time with us today.
Thank you, Vicki. And I loved hearing that your favorite flower was coxcomb. Never saw that coming.
Thanks. I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review, or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. And until next time, take care in business.